We're still doing our series on healing. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just praise you, Lord. We just pray, Lord, for the Holy Spirit to just anoint us, Lord. Anoint our ears, Lord, so that we may all be blessed out of coming around your word tonight, Lord. And that you'll just teach us what we need to know. And bless us, Lord. And we just bless you, Lord. In Jesus' precious name, amen. So tonight's message, sample pack of healing. Who here has experienced a healing or healings? Yeah. All of us have received a healing of the body or in the soul. And so salvation is a healing. Healing and salvation are interchangeable. Sometimes a kind word will heal over an old wound, an emotional wound that's been there for many years. And that person might have even forgot they had it. Kind word will bring healing to the soul. Forgiveness. Forgiveness is in itself healing. So forgiveness is touching the heart of God, and it requires a personal sacrifice. If you have forgiven someone, you have had a healing. And so if each of you were to come and give a healing testimony, they would all be very different. And we see in the Bible there are vastly different healings in a range of settings. So there was a time where I would read the New Testament trying to crack the code, if you like. But the ways Jesus and the apostles healed the needy are so different. And so one day I realized that God wants to heal people so much. He didn't give us a set formula. He gave us a sample pack of healings. So sometimes you need to work in with God to get your healing, and other times he will work in with you. He will meet you where you're at, if at all he can, because God wants you sound and whole. So the disciple John makes this amazing statement in John 21 verse 25. Now there are also many other things that Jesus did. Were every one of them to be written, I suppose the whole world itself could not contain the books that would be written. So we aren't given all that Jesus did, and we're given only a sample pack of the healings and miracles. And from that sample pack, we'll just look at a smaller sample or sample pack tonight. So we can find faith for our own healing in God's word. So tonight we'll have time just to look at the spoken word, laying on of hands, anointing with oil and prayer. So if the question is, what must I do to be healed? And then the answer is, you have options. So faith is a part of healings. Hope comes first, then hope has to give way to faith. Hope says, one of these days Jesus will heal me. And those Christians who are hoping and praying and hoping and praying and wishing will probably die hoping and praying and wishing, because hope is not faith. Hope is the goal setter, but hope is not faith. Faith says, I have it now, like in 1 Peter 2:24. So 1 Peter 2:24. He himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. So faith says, I have my healing now. Past tense, like the Apostle Peter said, by his wounds I have been healed. So first of all, there are healings that are initiated by God. And you could argue that all are initiated by God, because healing was his idea. And that is right. Healing and salvation are God's idea, but they don't usually happen automatically. Sometimes they do, but often we need to cooperate with him or meet the conditions. So sometimes Jesus healed through his own faith and power. An example is Luke chapter 7, verses 11 to 15. Soon afterward, he went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a great crowd went with him. As he drew near to the gate of the town, behold, a man who had died was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a considerable crowd from the town was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, do not weep. And he came up and touched the bier, and the bearers stood still. And he said, young man, I say to you, arise. And the dead man sat up and began to speak. And Jesus gave him to his mother. So in this case, it was as the Spirit wills. There was no mention of faith supplied by the mother or the dead son. And Jesus, out of mercy and his own faith, or who he was able to bring the son back from the dead. Some would consider this to be a miracle, not a healing, but I guess I just think logically that if you were to bring someone back to life and the sickness was not dealt with, you would assume that that would kill him again. I think it's both a healing and a miracle. So Jesus spoke to the dead boy and he heard Jesus' voice. So how good is that to be dead and to hear Jesus' voice? And his spirit returned to the body. And this is because Jesus had authority. So the next scripture I want to look at is Matthew 28, 18 to 20. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." So this authority he has given to his disciples. The Apostle Paul took hold of that authority, and we read in Acts 14, 7 to 11 what Paul did with that authority. So Acts 14, 7, "And there they continued to preach the gospel. Now at Lystra there was a man sitting who could not use his feet. He was crippled from birth and had never walked. He listened to Paul speaking, and Paul, looking intently at him, seeing that he had faith to be made well, said in a loud voice, 'Stand upright on your feet.' And he sprang up and began walking." So in this example, we see that Paul's preaching created faith for the crippled to be healed. So from that text, we can assume that Paul was either preaching healing or he was preaching the gospel as salvation for the whole man, spirit, soul, and body. And when Paul seen that the cripple had faith, he said in a loud voice, "Stand upright on your feet." So Paul used his authority that Jesus had given his disciples. And so we know that Paul preached the whole gospel, as he said in Acts 20, verse 27. So Acts 20, verse 27. "For I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God." All right, we'll move on to the next option. Another option is the sick can be anointed with oil and prayed for by believers. So olive oil has many healing properties in the natural, but the anointing of oil is a physical link to the spiritual and the anointing of the Holy Spirit and divine healing. Let's read James 5, 14 to 15. "Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they will be forgiven him." So some people say that this scripture is not for full-grown believers, but for those who have never developed their own spiritual life so as to take their places in Christ. It is for those must depend on others to pray for them, which could have some truth in it, but I like to think it's like calling on support, a power boost from a brother or sister to get you over the line, so to speak, and that God likes us to work in community with each other and together, because the healing power comes from him in any case. Sometimes Jesus would ask a sick or disabled person to do something like go wash in the pool of Siloam, or show yourself to the priest, give an offering, or pick up your mat. The book of John chapter 9 starts off with Jesus passed by a man who was blind from birth. And so Jesus made some mud and put it on his eyes. And then we'll just go to John 9, 7. So John 9, 7 says, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which is translated sent. "He went and washed and came back seeing." So the blind man's healing became a fixed moment in time when he washed in the pool of Siloam, what some people call a point of contact. So we have another example of an act of faith in the beginning of John chapter 5, This one was at a pool of water also. So Jesus meets a man who had an infirmity or weakness, 38 years, and had his hopes set on the pool and getting in first when the angel stirred it. So Jesus asked him to do something, and it wasn't legal, that wasn't legal on the Sabbath. So we'll go to John 5, verses 8 and 9. So John chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked. So this became an act of faith, or a point of contact of faith for the man, which Jesus initiated. So Jesus initiated that. Another way is laying on of hands or touch. So next I want to go to Matthew 9, 18 to 26. While he was saying these things to them, behold, a ruler came in, knelt before him, saying, "My daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her, and she will live." And Jesus rose and followed him with his disciples. Behold, a woman who had suffered from a discharge of blood for 12 years came up behind him and touched the fringe of his garment. "If I only touch his garment, I will be made well." Jesus turned, seeing her, he said, "Take heart, daughter, your faith has made you well." And instantly the woman was made well. And when Jesus came to the ruler's house and saw the flute players and a crowd making a commotion, he said, "Go away, for the girl is not dead, but sleeping." They laughed at him. But when the crowd had been put outside, he went in, took her by the hand, and the girl arose. And the report of this went throughout all the district. So here we have two healings. The first one, the woman with the issue of blood touched Jesus' garment. So Jesus said her faith had made her well, and she had faith for her own healing. So next, Jesus laid his hand on the synagogue ruler's daughter who had just died, and life came back into her. Laying on her hands, one touched him and he touched one. Okay, I just want to add one more and then talk about the three. So Matthew 8, 5 to 13. When he had entered Capernaum, a centurion came forward to him, appealing to him, "Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, suffering terribly." And he said to him, "I will come and heal him." But the centurion replied, "Lord, I'm not worthy to have you come under my roof, but only say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I too am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I say to one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who followed him, "Truly, I tell you, with no one in Israel have I found such faith. I tell you, many will come from the east and west, recline at the table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, while the sons of the kingdom will be thrown into outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And to the centurion Jesus said, "Go, let it be done for you as you have believed." And the servant was healed at that very moment. Jesus here ministered healing simply by speaking. And we need to realize just how powerful his word is. After all, the entire universe was created by the spoken word of God. As far as we can tell, the sick servant had no faith because Jesus made no mention of him, but he made mention of the centurion's faith. And so we would call this the faith of the intercessor who took Jesus at his word, "It's done." Once people have faith, we must remember that faith without works is dead. So James 2:17 says, "So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead." And James 2:20, "Do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless?" So works can be as simple as just taking God at his word. And we can learn from these is that they acted their faith. So the big lesson I guess we can learn from them is that it is often up to us to choose the time, the place, and even how we will be healed. So most people are waiting on God to decide when and how they'll be healed, or waiting on Jesus to decide. But should we be waiting for them to make the decision? These people took the decision of how they were going to be healed into their own hands. So, and maybe to get our healing, sometimes we will have to do what they did. So we're waiting for God or Jesus to do something, and they may be waiting on us because they have already done all that is necessary for our healing. So the Roman centurion, the synagogue lord, and the woman with the issue of blood believed that Jesus was who he said he was, and they also believed that Jesus had authority over sickness, disease, and death. So the synagogue official believed that if Jesus touched his daughter's dead hand, she would live, and she did. The woman with the issue of blood believed that when she touched Jesus' clothes or touched Jesus, she would be healed, and she was. The centurion believed that when Jesus spoke healing, his servant would be healed, and he was. So each person had works or evidence to show their faith. So these works or evidence were to choose a point of contact to release their faith. When that point of contact was made, they received their request. So the woman believed that, you know, when I touch his garment, I will be healed. The synagogue official believed that when Jesus would touch his daughter's hand, she would live. And the centurion believed that when he spoke, her servant would be healed. So many people today receive their healing through a point in time or a point of contact when they've said to themselves and they've believed firmly in their heart that when something happens, then I will be healed. I guess it sort of makes sense because most of us can remember a point in time when we believed for our salvation, and healing is the same. Okay, so we're just coming to the end of the message. So the points I'd like to go over again are, we looked at speaking, touch, anointing, and prayer. So there are no set rules or paths to divine healing. The Bible gives us a sample pack. Sometimes God initiates it, sometimes we initiate it. Forgiveness is pretty key. We have been given authority. Hope is in the future, the goal setter, the vision. Faith says, I have it now. And faith without works is dead. And a point of contact is a moment in time to release your faith. All right, I just want to pray to finish up. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your word. We just pray, Lord, that, Lord, in different situations, Lord, we should respond differently. And we just pray, Lord, that you just open us up, Lord, to when you're speaking to us, that we may know how and when, Lord, that you want to work with us, Lord, for our healing and our salvation. We just thank you, Father. In Jesus' precious name, amen.